Today is the second week in our new psalm series called Honest to God, Praying the Psalms. And throughout the series, you may know that we're looking at different types of psalms, prayers, all praying different feelings to God. And this week, we're diving straight in with prayers of honest confession. And so in the spirit of today's psalm, I must begin by confessing something to you. I have a really hard time praying this psalm. Don't get me wrong, this is a beautiful text. Your pastor's not abandoning part of the scripture. This is one that we encounter every year at Ash Wednesday as we begin the Lenten journey. It's a text historically attributed to King David after his, questionable encounter with Bathsheba. But if I'm really totally honest, I have a really hard time praying this psalm. And I think one of the reasons why is because this psalm feels a lot like a big pile of shame. The psalmist here seems to go over the top in confessing his sins, seems to exaggerate over and over to the extreme and really beat himself up for things. In some ways, this psalm even seems too self-abusive to be a good prayer to God. And yet, again, if I'm totally honest with myself, the real reason why this is a hard psalm to pray is because I know what it's like to feel this way. We know what it's like to screw something up, to make the wrong choice, to let someone down. We all know what it's like at some point in our lives to feel completely broken or stained. We all know what it's like to get all tangled up in lies and stories so you can't really untangle the mess. And so when I think about those dead ends, those times I've messed up or fallen short, suddenly, this psalm doesn't seem so extreme anymore. Because even if I believe in God's grace, the moment that I fall short, the moment that I sin, my doubts and anxieties all come up to the surface. And if you're anything like me, then the moment that you sin, the moment that you let someone down, the moment that you fail, that's the moment when you find yourself, like the psalmist, wondering if God just might throw you out and take his Holy Spirit away from you after all. And that's what confession is. Confession is nothing more and nothing less than speaking the honest truth of our condition before God and before one another. It's nothing more and nothing less than speaking the deepest truth of our souls. And so this means that while confession is probably one of the hardest conversations that you will ever have, it is also one of the most important. Now, before I go any further, as we talk about confession, it's really important that we clarify a distinction between shame and guilt. One of my favorite researchers and storytellers, Brené Brown. She's a social worker who is probably best known for her TED Talks and books about vulnerability and authenticity and wholehearted living. And she says it this way. She says the difference between shame and guilt is understood most easily as the difference between I am bad and I did something bad. Shame is about who we are, whereas guilt is about what we do. We feel guilty, see, when we've failed to do something or when we've done something that doesn't quite match up with our idea of ourselves and who we want to be. It's an uncomfortable feeling, but guilt is helpful in this way. Because when we apologize for something we've done, when we make amends to others, when we change a behavior that we don't feel good about, guilt is most often the motivator there. And guilt is just as powerful as shame, but its effect is often positive, while the effect of shame is often destructive. So, when you see someone apologize, make amends, replace negative behaviors with more positive ones, guilt is often the motivator, not shame. Brené says, guilt motivates us to change and grow. This is the part that caught me. While shame corrodes the part of ourselves that even believes that we can change and ever do better. Now, I don't want to replace scripture with psychology. I'm not asking you to think about psychology instead of scripture as God's word. But I think in order for us to pray a healthy prayer of confession, we need to understand this distinction. That guilt is a healthy, motivating sense that I did something bad. Whereas shame is a destructive, corrosive sense that somehow I am something bad. And we must understand this distinction if we're going to understand what confession is really all about. Because confession is not about shaming ourselves before God. Confession is not about punishing ourselves for our sins or harming our own souls or beating up on ourselves as a way to make up for our misdeeds. Confession is not about shaming ourselves. Confession is about naming our guilt before God so that God can overcome all our shame. Confession is about naming what we have done bad so that God can tell us, you are not inherently bad. Whenever we name our guilt before God, God overcomes it again and again by reclaiming us with love. So whenever you confess the deep truth of your soul, God always responds with a wide open embrace. Because God loves you exactly the way that you are. And yet, way too much to ever let you stay that way. And this is the difference between God's response and the world's response. Think about confession in our world. Imagine if you were sitting in a PTA meeting and you started confessing the deepest fears of your heart. You might turn a few people off. If you confess your limitations and your failings to your boss, I imagine you might get demoted, but certainly won't get that raise. If you confess to a crime, then you're probably going to get sentenced to a term in prison. In our world, confession leads to death. But with God, confession leads to life. For if you confess your deepest fears to God, then God promises to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. If you confess your limitations before God, then God takes your 5 loaves and your 2 fish and feeds a crowd of over 5,000. If you confess your sins to God, then God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, in our world, confession leads to more and more death. But with God, confession always leads to more and more life. Friends, I will be the first to admit the confession is awkward, and it's uncomfortable. And so often, confession can just feel like shaming, and it can feel like it's leading to death. And certainly for us, who have been raised in the neighborhoods of put on a happy face, and don't air your dirty laundry, and fake it till you make it, confession feels downright painful. It can feel like exposing our Achilles heel in the midst of battle. And in our culture of upward mobility and a curated social media image, confession feels like downward mobility and self-sabotage. And yet, we serve a God of downward mobility. We serve a God who humbled and emptied himself to the point of death, death on a cross. And so for most of us, it means a shift in our family thinking. Because for most of us, confession crosses the boundaries of what we talk about in family. For most of us, confession crosses the unspoken rules of what neighbors do and do not talk about on the playground. But in the family of God, we don't mask the truth here. In the neighborhood of Christ's kingdom, we don't hide our brokenness and then just hope it'll all work out for the best. In the community of the Spirit, in the church, we don't stay isolated in our fear. No. As Rachel Held Evans says, we Christians don't get to send our lives through the rinse cycle before showing up to church. We come as we are. No hiding, no acting, no fear. We come with our materialism and our pride and our petty grievances against our neighbors and our hypocritical disdain for those people in the church next door. We come with our fear of death, with our desperation to be loved, with our troubled marriages, with our persistent doubts, with our preoccupation with status and image. We come with our addictions to substances, to work, to affirmation, to control, to food. We come with our differences, be they political or theological or racial or socioeconomic. We come in search of a sanctuary, a safe place to shed our masks and to exhale. Friends, we come to air our dirty laundry before God and everybody, because when we do it together, then we don't have to be afraid. My beloved brothers and sisters, God invites us to be fully honest in our prayers. And our honesty need not stop at the water's edge, and we need not tidy up our house before the housekeeper comes, and we need not tidy up our prayers before we come to the altar. No, God desires our full selves, flaws and all. And when we come before God in honest confession, we have the promise of finding new life. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and then lead me to the way of life everlasting. Amen.